So the first thing is, tell me what kind of people come in here to record songs.
What kind of people? All kinds of people. We've had a six-year-old boy come in and do a song that he didn't even know the words to, and he sang the whole song without just the music and the helping voice with it. And then we've had old people come in, older people, for the older songs, like old Elvis Presley's Memories. And I think our biggest age group is the teenage girl who wants to do Madonna. Because that's the most popular song with them. And Valentine's Day was pretty good, too. A lot of people come in and do songs for their girlfriends or their wives or their boyfriends or their husbands, for that matter.
Do you have birthday songs or other holiday-oriented things?
Birthday songs, no. We've had requests for that, and we're trying to get that. Mm-hmm. A lot of songs like I Celebrate My Love for You and Islands in the Stream, we use those for Valentine's Day and My Girl. And we have Christmas songs, too. We just take them out during Christmas and all the holidays. We're working on birthday songs and much more love songs, basically.
Okay, I don't want to interrupt if that's somebody who... So when they come in, are they usually nervous?
Yes, they're always nervous. Well, some people, if they've done it before, they're not really nervous. But a lot of people, you can hear them, they're shaky. But with the practice, like I said before, they get used to it and they get less nervous and they realize that they are having fun. And when they hear the tape, they know they're having fun.
If voices actually shake, you can hear how nervous they are?
Well, at first they are, yeah. They kind of wobble around. But they get used to it, and it's a lot of fun. We try to get the idea across that it is fun. You don't have to be nervous.
Do you ever listen for the quality? I mean, I know if you're engineering, you're really busy, but you must listen. Do you ever listen and hear really good voices?
Yes, a lot of times we hear a lot of good voices. When we were on the news, Channel 2 and Channel 5, or Channel 7, we took down phone numbers from people just so we could call them back, see if they'd come in, if we ever had to do that again, to find people. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of good people. That's what the customer tape I was playing before.
Oh, those were all customers?
Yeah. I can give you a copy of that if you want.
Maybe. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Do people come in here and try and do professional demo tapes here?
Yes. We've had people come from out of state because they don't have I had a girl come from Iowa. She needed a demo tape for a beauty pageant. What's it called?
Talent.
Yeah, talent. The talent portion of her contest. She needed a song, so she did that. She handed that in.
But what do most of the people come in for? What
for
are they?
Fun. For fun. My boss told me that Andy Warhol said that everybody wants to be a star for at least 15 minutes in their whole life or something like that, to the effect. And I'm sure that's what people do. They sing in the shower, they sing in the car, they sing, clean the house. They just want to come here and see how they sound. To hear their own voice, that's what they want to do.
Uh-huh. Are most of them happy with the way it sounds when they leave?
Yeah. They're happy or embarrassed. They're embarrassed, but they're happy because they had fun. They like it.
So you were saying before, you've done this yourself?
Yeah,
once.
I've tried to do it before, and I just gave up on it because my voice is so bad.
Okay.
When they did Stand By Your Man,
uh-huh.
We had people come in and wanted that exact version to sing by it. So they wanted to imitate the Blues Brothers. They wanted to do Stand By Your Man or Rawhide. We had suggestions for that. What else? From Footloose, that song from Footloose, Flashdance. Bob Seger, Old Time Rock and Roll, right from
Whiskey.
Yeah, that one.
Do you get to watch them, or do you ever watch them in the booth to see what they're doing?
That's their own. We got the blinds in there. They can open up the blinds if they want people to see them. Let me do that. But usually they keep them closed. We got the light on above the studio. We can basically hear everything that goes on in there, though. Excuse me.
Okay. Why are you doing this?
Basically for fun, and second of all, I sing for weddings, so I want it as a demo tape so that people can hear what I sound like before they are walking down the aisle and I'm singing for them.
What have you done for a demo tape before?
I've taped myself at other weddings, but what happens is you always hear the kids crying and the clapping and, you know, this and that. I don't want that noise in the background. I want a clear sound.
Mm-hmm. Is that a full-time job for you or just something?
No, I work for St. Paul Federal. So this is just on weekends, whenever I can get someone to pay me to sing for them, so.
Okay, how long have you been singing?
Since I was in about first grade, and I'm 20 and a half now.
So are you nervous about doing this?
Yes and no. I get nervous because I want to make it sound good, but nervous to be singing, no, not at all.
You've been doing it long enough. Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll do that.
Find your song here first. Yes. Okay, you can put your headphones on. In the headphones, you'll hear your own voice while you're singing. the helping voice, the music, and I can talk to you through that. So the first couple of times we'll practice, then after that we'll go ahead and record it.
Okay.
Don't worry about goofing up, because if you do, I'll do it over again.
Okay.
Usually I'll have two practices, then we'll go ahead and record, but if it's that busy like it is now, we can work on it. We can work on it. Is that good enough? Yeah.
The girl that's on the tape is doing, you know, like singing with her own style, and it's hard to. Okay.
Thank you.
I could have done a little better, but you're always most critical of yourself, so.
What do you wish you'd done differently?
I think the song is the key is too low for my voice. I normally sing it in E and it's written in C, but there's nothing I could have done about that other than to have them ask them to get it in a key of E, but. So I wish it was a little higher. I think my voice sounds better in a higher key.
But other than that, you're satisfied?
Yeah, it sounds pretty good. I'm kind of happy with it.
You got a good deal? Is this a good way to?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I have a machine at home that'll do it. It's a toy, actually, but it doesn't give good quality. That's why I don't like it. So I'd rather pay to have it sound okay.
Okay.
We'll.
Okay. Yeah, close enough to hear this. First of all, tell me what you do through the Institute.
Well, the Institute was created to teach juggling, and so basically that's what we do in elementary schools, junior highs, high schools, sometimes colleges, and so we teach juggling.
Are there some people who are better, more inclined to be jugglers, easier to teach?
I think anybody who wants to learn how to do it can throw something up in the air and catch it, will learn how to juggle. We find that basically if we start fourth grade on up, we can teach a fourth grader how to juggle in 45 minutes.
Is that, then that's average for an adult too, or the older you get, the harder it is?
Well, again, it's if you want to learn how to do it. Sometimes adults get inhibited if there are other adults around. They say, well, I'll practice it later on. We're kids, you know, they're more willing to try things. But we start out with nylon scarves, and it slows the whole pattern down. People are used to using tennis balls or golf balls or something like that. And you drop it once or twice, and you get discouraged, and you say, ah, forget it. But with scarves, they float so slow that you have a lot of time, and you can see the pattern clearly, and you pick it up, and after you learned it, then you're more willing to try something that, like a round object that'll fall faster.
Mm-hmm. Are there a lot of people that juggle? Is it becoming more popular, or is it still kind of an obscure thing to do?
I think it's growing in popularity. One indication, there's an International Jugglers Association that's worldwide, and their ranks are growing by leaps and bounds. And just in this area alone, I get phone calls. We sell juggling equipment here, too, and people are ordering juggling equipment. Obviously, we're getting it out to the schools and hoping that the PE teachers will take it and initiate it into their PE curriculum, which would really be great. Adults, you find a lot of adults know how to juggle. They've learned. I call them closet jugglers. They've learned while waiting to play tennis or before teeing off or with racquetballs or something like that. And when you get out there and you start to perform, people come up to you and they say, oh, I learned how to do that. And they learned on their own. There are some books on juggling, too, that people learn from.
It seems like it's more of a popular thing. You see a lot of juggling musicians on TV. Aren't there more mainstream jugglers now than there used to be?
I think you're right. I think variety entertainment as a whole is coming back. If I look at my friends who are in variety, who are magicians and clowns and ventriloquists and so forth, mimes, there's a lot of work out there. And 6-7 years ago, there wasn't as much work, I don't think. So juggling is caught up in this variety entertainment style, and people want to see it. They like to see it. Maybe vaudeville's coming back.
What does it do for you, besides being a neat trick you can show off and impress your friends? Does it have any further advantages?
Well, we try to promote it in the sense that juggling is great for eye-hand coordination, timing, reflexes, and kind of creates a stage presence when you have something like juggling. A lot of people like to watch it. But also, I think it's a confidence builder, because it could be created with instant success. When we go into a school, for instance, we'll teach the kids, and in 45 minutes to an hour, we've taught them how to juggle. I mean, if they were to learn a musical instrument, it would take a long time and so forth. But with juggling, you have that instant success. So hopefully, maybe the kid that hasn't been successful in too many other things can go home, show mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, all their friends, and they'll say, wow, look at Johnny. Johnny's doing great. And it boosts his ego and his self-confidence, and he has something that he can show off.
Is it relaxing, or does it make you tense? or need it?
Well, I'll give you an example. Bell Laboratories out in Naperville, they have a juggling group. And at lunchtime, they get together and they juggle. And they say it's real relaxing. In fact, I've run across executives who, instead of taking caffeine and nicotine breaks, they take juggling breaks.
Less calories, too.
That's true.
What about, I saw in that article, Dallas Cowboys learned how to juggle.
Yeah.
Do you know why?
A gentleman who is into juggling, I don't know him personally, he had the idea of the timing, the reflexes, the motor skills and so forth, the quickness that juggling promotes, using both hands equally, by the way, which is something that a lot of sports don't have. You're always dominating one side, and juggling uses right brain, left brain, both halves of your body equally. And so he took that to the Dallas Cowboys, and he talked to the trainers and showed them what could happen and so forth. And they decided to try it, and pretty soon the trainers realized that this was something that was very beneficial. And so they juggle, I think it's 2, 3, or 4 pound bean bags, big leather bean bags. And so they're also building up their muscles in that, although I'm sure they don't need it build up anymore, but it helps with their quickness. And they're learning 3 and 4 objects too. And I guess it's been going real successful. So hopefully this guy will get to some of the other teams soon.
What kinds of things can you juggle? Can you really pick up any 3 things and juggle?
Well, just about anything you can throw up in the air and catch, you could juggle 3 things. You know, people like heavy objects, bowling balls. They like sharp objects, you know, knives, axes, and so forth. A new thing would be something expensive to juggle. I have a friend who juggles a Casio keyboard. And you think, how much is that? And this guy's throwing it up in the air, and people, you know, are kind of tense about that, too. I know I was the first time, but... You know, he juggled a Casio board, a torch, and an apple. You know, I do a tennis racket, a plunger, and a bowling pin on a unicycle. So it's fun. People like to see that.
Okay. But it's a matter of how it has to be something, like the Casio board must be pretty heavy. And a bowling ball, those things, hard things to throw up, you have to be pretty strong.
Well, the bowling ball, if you use leverage, isn't too bad because it's round, but a Casio board is... weird shaped. So I don't know. I don't know how heavy it is. I just watched him do it. I didn't really pick it up.
What's the hardest set that you ever juggled?
Elephants? No. I suppose the things I just mentioned, the plunger racket and the bowling pin, 3 different objects.
There's some technique to doing different objects because you have to grab them all in the right place.
Some things you have to flip one time, other things you might have to just throw up. Some things are real small and you have to grab it in your hand real quick and get it positioned so you can throw it back again. Some things are just weird shaped and you've got to always make sure you catch the exact end at the right time. Mm-hmm. So you have to practice them.
So most of the people you teach to juggle end up doing tennis balls or something and nothing much more.
Bean bags sometimes too. We always use bean bags. Can you imagine going to a school with 100 kids in a class and having 3 balls apiece, 300 balls bouncing around? I did that the first year and I'll never do it again. We use juggling bean bags. They're square and you don't have to chase them. And a lot of people like that, especially indoors. You're not going to break anything.
Okay.
I tell adults especially, you know, get a set of these bean bags and put them up in your living room. Then when people come over and they go, what are those things? And then you can say, hey, let me show you.
Okay. One is, you started to head in this direction to really make a business out of juggling. What did your friends and family say to you?
My dad said get a real job. And my mom was supportive. They started me out. They funded me. I borrowed some money from them to get going and eventually paid that back. And now my parents are real proud. You know, they'll see articles in the newspaper and their friends will give them the articles and all of a sudden we'll collect, you know, 12 articles and so forth. So my dad, you know, he's into it now, but he came he's in construction and you work an hour, you get paid an hour. And he used to call me up and say, so, did you do a school today? And I said, no, but I booked 3 of them for the future. And he goes, but you didn't make any money today, did you? And I go, well, no, Dad, but I booked, you know, so many hundreds of dollars worth of stuff. But it took a while for it to sink in like that.
Mm-hmm.
And now everything's gung-ho. Well, it's a full-time occupation.
Mm-hmm. And I see from this article you were saying, or someone was saying, that computer types, mathematicians, are maybe the best jugglers or good jugglers. What is that?
Maybe they need to relax the most. Who knows? Okay. And they use juggling as the relaxing method. I really don't know. A lot of times I find, since I work a lot with kids, that the kids who aren't into sports as much, who don't really have too many hobbies, are the ones that sometimes see this as a potential hobby for them. They're the ones that it may take them longer to get, but once they get it, they practice it, and they're the ones who are always calling me up saying, hey, guess what? I can do this, I can do that now. And it's great. It's nice to see that, we can give them something that they haven't done before.
Those kids who might have failed at more conventional sports.
Yeah, maybe it's the kid who's kind of, on the heavy side or wasn't as coordinated as the other kids, the one that got picked last on the team. They were the spectator. The world's divided into participants and spectators. And I see that whenever I go, you'd say, be at a convention someplace and, doing something, and someone, you'd say, hey, you want to learn how to juggle? And they'd say, no, I think I'll just watch. And they're afraid to fail. And those are the spectators. So we're trying to take some of those spectators and bring them out and be the participants or the people out in front. Mm-hmm. And juggling can do that.
Okay. So tell me what you're doing.
Juggling scarves, nylon scarves. Nylon is the best. They float the slowest. These are the lightest type of scarves, or gossamer nylon. And they have a lot of time to think about every throw. As you're juggling, you can almost let it hit the floor, wait a long time before you throw the next one. And basically, juggling is like walking. Put one step in front of the other, same with juggling. You throw with one hand, you throw with the other hand. So basically, there's one object in the air at a time. When it starts to come down, you replace it by throwing with your opposite hand. And just back and forth, using both hands equally, right, left, right, left. And just have a lot of time. The higher you throw it, the slower you can go.
Okay.
Right, so round objects, and obviously they fall a little faster, but still the same pattern, throwing, in this case, right, left, right, left, right, left. And when one starts to come down, you throw another one. And then there's a lot of variation. You get a little bit faster, do some fancy tricks back and forth like that. This is really great, radio juggling. Just imagine all this, juggling 27,000 objects at one time.
Amazing. No,
just three right now. So people always ask, well, how do you do more? How do you do more than three? Well, you see three crosses. You always throw them across the other hand. Is doing two in one hand and two in the other hand and doing it at the same time. So it looks like they're crossing when you do four, but actually they're not. And so odd-numbered amounts of objects, they cross all the time. Three crosses, five objects cross, but even numbers like two, four, six stay in the same hands.
So but now, it looks like they're crossing over?
Yeah, it does.
Three, four,
maybe because if you watch for a second there, it looks like they're crossing, but they're just going back to the same hand. See, all I'm doing is this.
Uh-huh.
Anyway. Here we go. So juggling clubs, it's the same pattern again. Same pattern, right, left, except this time you have to learn to get that one spin back and forth so that you catch it on the right end. Especially if you're doing torches, it helps if you catch it on the right end. And then one thing nice, if you can hear the sound now, you start to do double spins or double flips, which look real nice, triple flips. Flash of three, and so forth. Then you can do crazy things, hit them on your head. Ooh, ouch. Off of both heads. Stuff when you like that, don't you? And all that fun stuff. So, chops real fast. And the big finish. Ta-da!
Okay.
Now let me hold it off until a later time, all right? Yes, we're going
to
take one other question, Mr. Kotcher.
I'd like to ask Mayor Kotcher. Well, we may be questioning the methods in Chicago. It does seem as if it was relatively easy to find some corruption in the two big cities that were tried. What message do you think this gives to people?
Let me say this. One, it's not easy to find corruption of this kind, and let me tell you why. We're now talking about in our city, it's the Parking Violations Bureau that has received major attention. There may be other corruption as well, but I want to confine myself to that at the moment. You normally find corruption in an agency of that kind where you have a sting, which is you set it up for the purposes of seeing whether the corruption is there, and I think you're familiar with the sting operation. An informer or an honest person who decides that he will not or she will not be corrupted. Those are the three things. You didn't have that here. He did not have it here. In our city, without knowing what the final results will be as to whether or not these agencies stole money by receiving cash and not turning it over to the city, which is now under investigation, these particular agencies collected more money than the predecessor operation, so that it was not an area where you looked and said, well, we seem to be losing money here. If anything, we were gaining money. That in no way is an excuse for corruption. So if you're saying, shouldn't we have found it? I wish we had. No law enforcement agency found it in New York City, and they're all good law enforcement agencies, the federal, the state, and the city, but they did not. They found lots of other corruption in the same period that we're talking about. Hundreds of people were arrested for stealing, who are city employees, and turned over to law enforcement for prosecution, and many went to jail. But this was not found. I am grateful that it was found as a result of this tapped conversation. I'm grateful for that.
My question is, what does this do to public confidence in government servants, given that it happened?
Well, you know, if the television industry could say that there's never been corruption in the television industry, maybe you could say that. But I remember corruption in the television industry. I'm not going to suggest it's taking place today. Don't you? Do you?
Yes.
Good. So, well, I'm telling you what it means. What it means is that in our society, regrettably, there is corruption. From the day that humankind stood on their 2 feet, there were some people who were corrupt. And our job is to find them. But anyone who thinks that automatically government is going to be clean of corrupt people is foolish, since those corrupt people come from society, which is more corrupt than government, percentage-wise. How do I know that? I know that because in government, we're constantly looking for corruption. You have the law enforcement agencies. You have the internal investigation. You have inspector generals and city controllers and state controllers constantly auditing. You don't have that in the private sector. And the reason that you don't hear, it's no defense of corruption in the public sector, but the reason that you don't hear of corruption in the private sector, which in my judgment is much more, is generally they bury it. They don't want to tell the stockholders. I have 7.5 million stockholders. I want them all to know about the corruption whenever we find it. And you will find that on every occasion when we have found it, I've stood up with our Department of Investigation at City Hall and said, this is what we found, and this is what we're sending over to the district attorney or the U.S. attorney for prosecution. It wasn't found here, but neither did the law enforcement people find it, regrettably, for the reasons that I told you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay? Thank you.
People try it. I always ask them because it's hard. The speed of the speed. Mm-hmm. They get the kind of, in order to adjust the speed, gripping.
Mm-hmm.
And ask them. Like it, and most people, more and more people. I didn't know. I didn't think that. So we bought of that filter to buy 40 of them.
Okay.
Here's something else. I bet you just couldn't figure out with Jell-O.
Yeah. We call. It's hard for me to what is it, but it's included, you know, the what is that?
I think that that is, we cook like green beans, and we cook long, and we had and many days. And when we cook, and the final coconut meal in there. Vani and the tatung is a lot of people, they like it. My homemade outside and when in the glasses for them. This is because the American they never had. But if they try it,
you know, it's name to say that it is Swiss soup. Yeah. When we name it Swiss soup and yeah, it's hard to, you know, they try it and they know.
Do you eat, is dessert a big part? Like there, it's American desserts, they go on big. Looks like it's less important.
People, we had the dessert more of the time. We never eat because that is sweet. We not like sweet like the cake. And we had one of the dessert. The flan is, I think, that is French. And most of Vietnamese people, they love it. I know how to make it. In here, but still later. Now it's in the kitchen is old. Two, one is freezer and one is refrigerator. A lot of vegetable and onion. I like to make the flan. Eat the with the onion like that, and I don't want to make. We would like to make it. But usually we had eat this during like when you come to the restaurant, orange juice or Chung Sha Hok Lo. During when you have lunch like that.
These
are
two.
Yeah. You know, we when we opened this, we didn't have much capital. You know, we wanted to it to be can learn, you know, more and more. Korea. And we make the name Vietnam Little Home Restaurant. We serve Vietnamese food. It's little, but we make people feel like at home. A little bit small, but we treat people so that they feel cozy. We always keep asking questions. And what dishes? So that we can fit with their